Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarii. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Oh, there's trouble in River City. Right here. I like this text. We're going to break this down a little bit. This is more of a teaching moment today to really learn some things about what's going on. I want to get deeper into what's happening here. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. Pretty straightforward there. But we need to remember, who are the Pharisees? Remember, we're interactive here. We're like the internet. Who are the Pharisees? The leaders of the church. What church? The Jewish church. Because there was no Christian church yet. Jesus was forming that, right? That was his disciples, and he were really the framers of what we see as Christianity today. Really, Christian means follower of Jesus. That's not who the Pharisees are. They're Jewish leaders. And they got an issue with that Jesus. See, it would have been great. Man, it would have been wonderful. Because Jesus came into town, right? As he went from village to village and he healed people and talked to them about God. And although they were kind of, "Oh, you sound kind of, you're progressive for us, Jesus. You're way out in front of where we're." But it's good. He's got a lot of people following him. It would have been great if Jesus would have gotten with them and heard what they needed to tell him. You know, "Jesus, I want to remind you, this is the way we've always done it here. You know, we want you to follow the way we've been doing things. We need you to say to them, to those people that follow you, we need you to say to them what we've been saying all along. Otherwise, everything's going to get out of whack." And Jesus didn't do that. Jesus kept talking about what the Father had sent him to say. He didn't care what the Pharisees wanted him to say. He wanted to report back what his Father was telling him to tell people everywhere. And that really made the Pharisees mad. And the Sadducees and a lot of other people that were framers and keepers of the Jewish church. They didn't like it that Jesus was upsetting everything. So that first verse, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples." Did you think Jesus' disciples were holy people? They're confused a lot. We read that in the Bible. But they want to follow Christ. They're trying to do what Christ. What do you think about the disciples of the Pharisees? Were they holy people? Sure. They wanted to follow and listen to what the Pharisees had said and do what the Pharisees had. So when they say they sent the disciples of the Pharisees, these are people that have grown up and learned what it is that the Pharisees have said are the most important things. And they're there because they have a job, right? What's their job? To help create a plot to entrap Jesus. They want to get him. For whatever reason, could have been political. You know, if we can get Jesus trapped in saying something, and then we can kind of use him, then we can show everybody how much we like this guy. You know, come and see him, but remember what we're saying, right? They got to find something on Jesus. Or maybe they want to just entrap him for worse things down the road. If you've read ahead in the Bible, you know that's what it ends up becoming. So they sent along with them their disciples, the Pharisees' disciples, leaders of the church's disciples, and this other funny group, the Herodians. Guess who they followed? Herod. They were followers of Herod. Who was Herod? A ruler of Rome. Now, Rome was polytheistic. That means they loved the idea of a bunch of different gods. I'm having trouble irrigating my crops this week. I need to go have a prayer or set some money out for the water god. I'm having trouble with my wife. I need to see how I walk this way. I'm having trouble with my wife, not really. And so I need to go pray to the God that helps me with the relationship with my wife. I'm having trouble with my neighbor. I need to go pray and leave some type of sacrifice for the God that will help me with the relationship. I'm having trouble with my business. I'm having trouble with money. I'm having trouble right here in River City. So I'm going to pray to the God that ends up helping with that. The Jews have how many gods? Uno. They are monotheistic. They are like one God. That's it. And the Jews didn't like this idea of polytheism because to the Jews there were no other gods. There was one God. How many gods did Jesus talk about? One God. So Jesus is monotheistic just like the Jews. And they happened to all believe in the same one God because Jesus was a Jew. Exactly. Now, here's the funny thing. They have the Herodians, who are polytheistic, coming along. The Pharisees did this. We're going to get these two groups together, and they're going to corner. So really, in the text, you need to understand that they're setting in place for you, right in front of your eyes, this either-or, right? It's one or the other. That's it. Whatever happens here, it ends up being one or the other. But notice that they're buddies. These disciples of the Pharisees and these Herodians, they're buddies. They're coming together. They have one cause. Because neither one of them liked this Jesus. And they're all in agreement, we have to do something to change the table right now on this Jesus. Because we don't like him taking our power away from us. So they say, teacher, and when you hear them say this, you know that person that comes up and goes, oh, you look wonderful today. Those are lovely shoes. Oh, I bet with a hat you get a bowl of soup on there. Right? When you hear somebody talk like that, that's what they're talking like. Teacher, we know that you are sincere. This is not nice what they're doing. And teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You really do. It's really true. And show difference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. And they're buttering him up. They're trying to make him feel at ease. Just tell us then. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? And see, here's the issue. The coins that the Romans had minted had an image on it. And whose image was that? The emperor's, Caesar. They've minted this coin with Caesar's image on it. And the Jews have got this thing about graven images. And on the coin it says, this is the Son of God. That's what it said on the Roman coins. August, something about August to Augustus. This is the Son of God. That's who the Romans claimed Caesar was. And the Jews are like, uh-uh, that's not true. There's one God, not Caesar. And that's where a big part of this rift is coming in. And that's why they're asking Jesus this question. They want Jesus to make a statement that's either against the Jews or against the Roman Empire, thereby dividing and conquering. That's their purpose today. And so Jesus does something brilliant. He says, well, show me the coin that you're talking about. Now, by the way, you had to have these coins, even as a Jew, in order to pay your taxes, because the Roman Empire, you know, leveled a tax on everybody, and you could only pay it in Roman coins. So that was an issue for the Jews. They didn't want to have to pay taxes. Of course, the Romans were like, you live here, you pay taxes. Sound familiar? It should, because it started a long time ago. Right? So Jesus says something brilliant. Do you have a coin? Can you show it to me? And they go, sure, we got one right here. Now, what's amazing about this is try and imagine somebody coming in your door, and there's really one big evangelism group that I'm not trying to pick on, I'm just using them as an example. Imagine a Mormon coming to your door and going, so what do you think? Is pornography good or bad? And you go, I don't know, do you have an example of pornography? And they go, yeah, I've got it right here in my pocket. Get it? Why do you have pornography in your pocket all day? And they were like, yeah, here's the coin. Right? So first of all, whoever produced that coin for him had said an awful lot right at that moment. So Jesus looks at that coin and of course says now what we all know. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. In our text today, give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God what belongs to God. Now I'm going to ask the question, you're all going to say it, what belongs to God? Yeah, but do we really believe that? So here's a story. Some people say it's a myth or a legend. But I'm going to talk about the Gauls. Do you know who the Gauls are? They inhabited what's now France and Belgium for a long time. They were Celtic. And they worshipped, most of them, Druidism. You know what Druidism is? You've heard about Stonehenge and the Druids. Okay? So they were the Gauls, these people that inhabited an area. And after a while, Christian missionaries eventually got to the Gauls, and they converted some of the Gauls to Christianity, and so Christianity began in that area. Now, here was the strange thing. When missionaries would come in to the Gauls, who were great, they were people of battle their whole lives. They were like, when you watch the 300, right, the Spartans and all that, they were like the Spartans. These were great warriors. These Gauls, and they had done battle for a long time. They didn't agree with who was trying to rule them. Try and think Braveheart, right? Remember that? We're talking that kind of, this is a warring nation. And so what would happen is the Christian missionaries would come in and they'd baptize. Remember, this is myth or legend right now. Some people think it's true and other people are like, I don't know. But it's an illustration. And they would come in to baptize these people. And they would baptize them in a stream or a lake. And when they would baptize them, the Gauls would go under but keep one arm out so it didn't get wet. And this kept happening. Christian missionaries would go and baptize these Gauls in different cities, and they'd keep one arm out so it wouldn't get wet. And later on, one of the Christian missionaries said, you know, you Gauls, we're glad that you're, you know, thinking about Christianity and you're becoming Christians, but every time we baptize you, we put you under the water, but you keep one arm out. What is that all about? And they tried to explain. They said, look, we've been a warring nation for a long time, and in order for us to continue to be able to do things that are very unchristian, I can't let that arm be baptized while I'm getting baptized. So I can still do this. Thank you, Father. Right? It's the way we are. What belongs to God? Everything. Well, except maybe my television on Sunday morning. And we worship at that altar. Right? I'm fully Christian. I'm fully Christian. But, oh, this over here is really important to me. That's really not involved with my faith life. That's like, well, I'll just keep my arm out. And I won't baptize from this part over. And I'll keep doing that. Because, gosh, I love that. And I know it's not really part of my call as a faithful person. Do you see? It's who we are. It's one of those things that challenges us. We like to say, What is God? Well, you know, what belongs to God for me? Well, everything. But we just don't live like that. None of us do. I'm including myself in that group. It's one of those things that we work on daily. And it's what Christ is asking us to consider today. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. What you believe belongs to Caesar. But give to God what belongs to God. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for this day, for Jesus Christ in our lives, who shows us and tells us continually who you are in our lives, Lord. How we are created in your image. How we are your sons and daughters. How we are your hands and feet. God, help us to know how much we belong to you. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As we continue with our service, please rise as you're able.